you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some artificial cell lines that science is designing, and we're going to see what that may mean. We also might have time to talk about some other things regarding maybe constipation, kidneys, and doctors, and all kinds of great stuff. But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Hope you are hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face and minding the time. It grows short. And today's devotional is from Philippians 4, where it says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. And every living thing that lives shall be meat, and the green herb I give you all things. So, yes, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. From Genesis to Revelation, he tells us to use those medicinal herbs for well-being. So I believe him. God can't lie. And mind the time, because that's the way. So seek the Lord's face. That is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report. Hey, the other day we were talking about telomeres on the end of your chromosomes, which science says they get shorter as we age. Well, here's something that was kind of cute. This was by Biomed Central. They say traffic noise affects birds. They age faster. It decreases the size of their telomere. Yeah, especially zebra finches. They have a nesting ritual, and according to the study, the noise from traffic, especially, damages their chromosomes and telomeres, and they live shorter lives. So there you go. Even the birds are annoyed. I'm right with those birds right there. I don't like the traffic. The older you get, you want some peace and quiet. All right, next up is the quack report. Here's an FDA warning, especially if you're diabetic and if you're taking any medications that are considered SGLT2 inhibitors, Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, and other AstraZeneca all make these class of drugs for diabetics. They are now required to carry an FDA warning, apparently. What the drugs do is they eliminate high amounts of sugar through the urine. This places a high amount of bacteria's favorite environment to grow in, right around the genital region. And so it causes a great environment for bacteria to grow and then becomes a problem. It creates what science is calling Fowler's gangrene. So apparently it causes a necrotizing fasciitis. Tissue gets inflamed. There could be an eruption of a blister. Bacteria grows, and what you get is a flesh-eating bacteria down there. That's not good. According to reports, patients have been hospitalized and have had to go under operations, and they've become disfigured. One patient died. The FDA is watching this very closely. This is a drug approved by the FDA and is now causing a gangrenous tissue and flesh-eating bacteria. Nice, isn't that great? Mm. Last but not least in the quack report, here's an interesting research. This is from the Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. They say people that eat salads live longer, and they have sharper cognitive abilities. That's right. They tracked 960 individuals that were of the average age of 81 years of age that did not have dementia. They tracked them for about 5 years. Each time, you know, they were watching what they ate. They surveyed what they ate during that period, and what these people were eating was several servings per day, three or more of green leafy vegetables, things like spinach, collard greens, kale, lettuce, they did a 10-year follow-up, and they're still eating their greens, and they had no cognitive decline whatsoever. So there you go. It's the minerals in those vegetables that are helping your brain out. So don't neglect your fresh fruits and vegetables out there. And the Mediterranean diet's way to go. And your eyes won't be dim, and your mind will be sharp, just like Moses at the age of 120. And that wraps the quack report. Was that all of the quacker there, Frank? What happened to the quacker? What happened to the music? Okay, we had a little mishap with the soundbite there. All right, we're going to talk about the artificial cell lines. What is going on with that? So much of the world seems to be focusing on artificial elements. They're replacing organic ones with artificial ones. It is almost like, you know, a game of cheating where you want to get around the laws of matter and physics and make something else. Reinventing and recreating is pretty much the major vein that seems to be running through science. And this path can often shatter ethics. So we're going to see what's up with science, what's up with the regard to the creating of artificial cell lines and what that may mean. So there's a new kind of cell, apparently. The biomedical engineers at the University of California have been doing some work in creating artificial cells, and they have taken properties of living cells to create artificial ones that do not grow or divide like normal cells do. And some people may ask, well, what good is a cell that has no life cycle? Well, we're told that engineers made these cells to detect and react to bacteria. So the researchers based their premise on Lego blocks, they said, you know, the Lego blocks that snap together. So the artificial cells can actually identify and then bond to the bacteria and then kill it, according to the research. And it was published in the September 2018 Journal of ACS Applied Materials and Interfaces. So they're restructuring these cells, and the engineers stated that they build their artificial cells from the bottom up using liposomes, which is a lipid membrane, and then they purify the components that include proteins and DNA and metabolites. And he says they build these cells to kind of mimic or act like the organic live cells. However, they can't divide or reproduce, and so then when they do their job, they're done. Okay. Here's a quote from Qimeng Tang. He's the professor of biomedical engineers at the University of California. And he says, we have demonstrated that our artificial cells can sense, react, and interact with bacteria, as well as function as systems that detect and kill bacteria, all with little independence on their environment, end of quote. So we've got some cell programming going on here. Apparently, these artificial cells must be programmed to detect the chemical signature of bacteria, such as, let's say, E. coli. And this, by some, is considered an improvement over antibiotics that are really not discerning between good or bad bacteria, and they kill both. But unusually, cells are created to work in specific nutrient-rich environments, though. So they're saying now they have cells that doesn't really matter. They'll work no matter what environment. So cells normally in an environment would need things like water and protein and enzymes to function, but the engineers have made their cells to be able to work in a variety of environments and with limited resources. So this would lend artificial cells to work in an expanded application within science. And it sounds so good on the surface, you know? So, but here's the thing. Where is all this headed? You know, you could probably speculate out there that these cells are really programmable cells, and science endeavors to use them in humans as antibacterial agents. They hope to use them against the drug-resistant bacteria that does not respond to the traditional drug therapies, and that sounds great on the surface as well. And they also look to use these programmable cells to act as a delivery vehicle to transport drugs to specific areas of the body and also to work as a type of biosensor, which may alert doctors to potential diseases. Now, science is genetically engineering these cells as a form of disease treatment for things like cancer. So in this case, they are engineering immune system T cells with regard to the cancer treatment so they can target the cancer tumor cells. So the details of how they're programming these cells to attack cancer is important to note. So how are they doing it? Well, the American Society for Microbiology reported in April 2015 that genetically modified salmonella cells were being tested to attack cancer cells and, you know, things like cancer tumors. So science has been experimenting with different strains of salmonella. And one may wonder, why use salmonella? Well, it's a bacteria that is known to colonize, and it likes to bind to tumor cells, offering an anti-tumor action. However, there is this delicate problem of finding a way for the salmonella to only attack cancer and not other cells for it to be a safe use. So if they don't get that right, a person could develop blood poisoning known as sepsis and die. So here is a quote from, this is from Roy Curtis III, University Professor, Microbiology Center of Infectious Disease at Arizona State University, and he says, there is a long interest in using GM microbes to target and destroy cells within tumors. And I think this study using Salmonella is a significant way to help in the overall cancer therapy, end of quote. However, some of the health, some people in healthcare, you know, think there is a safer way to deal with cancer other than weaponizing mutant strains of infectious disease like Salmonella. So the scientists have this real challenge when they want to use Salmonella because when it colonizes or multiplies, it attacks tumor cells, but they become very toxic. And when that happens, they spread rapidly. Here's how it is. Normally, regular Salmonella bacteria cells will divide once or twice in a 24-hour period. But when you get the genetically modified Salmonella, it likes to divide every hour, and it offers a real risk of toxins getting out of hand and causing sepsis. So the likelihood of a patient dying the same day as they were given the treatment is a risk. So they're working on that. Further modification to the genetically modified Salmonella is what they're doing. They want to reduce the likelihood of a person developing sepsis, but when they reduce that risk, the ability for the Salmonella cells to kill the tumor cells become weaker, and then they have to send patients down the hall to the chemo and radiation therapy anyway. So there they are. But they are testing other cell lines. Science has been actually creating artificial cell lines for a couple of decades now. In 1997, the Institute of Toxicology ran studies on recombinant cell lines, and they were trying to establish a standardization for cloning the cell lines and then measuring the toxicity when they do that. So, for instance, they tested genetically modified ovary cells from a Chinese hamster because if human cell lines were not available to mutate, they are looking at the possibility of using transgenic animal cell lines. Isn't that great? You can keep your hamster cells. That's how I feel. Well, let's look at this advanced programming of cells because, you know, since 97, they have made some changes. And the researchers at MIT have stated they have learned how to reprogram human cells. Now, of course, we're told that much of the research in this area has been focused on using cell programming to treat disease. However, how can such research be used to change a person's DNA or RNA? You know, can this happen? Well, it's an interesting question. Can this research change your DNA and your RNA? Most likely, it wouldn't be a stretch, you know, for science to do that. Let's read a quote from Christopher Boyd. He's the professor of biological engineering at MIT. He says this: it is literally a programming language. You use a test-based language, just like you're programming a computer. And you take the text, you compile it, and then you turn it into a DNA sequence, and then you put that into the cell, and then the circuit runs inside the cell. End of quote. Okay. So what Professor Voigt is describing really is the life-shaping methods. So in other words, science has learned how to hack organisms to perform new functions. So it may be kind of hard to wrap your brain around the astonishing reality that they can reprogram disease. They can make disease selective to certain DNA sequences, or in other words, target specific races of people or animals. And you want to know what the science brains at MIT call this. Well, they refer to this as toxin-sniffing germs. That's when they mutate a disease to do that. That's what they call it. I just changed it into a toxin-sniffing germ. So they are creating pretty much a biological circus. It's really nothing that should be messed with. And they can reshape agriculture with this method. So what is even more alarming is that they have based the cell reprogramming on a language of coding, the same language that they use to code computer chips. So the DNA sequence codes are available on the internet, and they have a master code that you can go by. They created it for the E. coli genome, but it can be adapted to fit genomes for other organisms. You know, just, you know, a little tweak here and there, and there you go. You've just, you know, weaponized a new disease. Here's a quote from Dr. Voigt, or once again, Professor Voigt. He goes, "The key to making the whole thing work is tailoring the language to the complex conditions within cells. They have computing elements like logic gates that are easily slipped into the bacterial genome. The speed of the new method of programming the cell DNA circuit that would have normally taken years to design now could be done with a touch of a button. This is a biological programming game changer." End of quote. Well, I don't know about you. I'm not too thrilled. I'm kind of worried. Because our biological destiny is up for grabs now. It is what it is. The ability to control the or manipulate destiny of living things, human beings even, is what we're witnessing. Some scientists are so alarmed by this, they have stated, quote, "The ability to control the destinies of the living things is too much power and responsibility for any one to wield." End of quote. Very wise statement, because it is true. That is true. So this is what a technology revolution looks like. We're in the middle of it. Technology is overshadowing nature. So we're forced now, like it or not, we're forced to be living under conditions that are geared to make us want to protect ourselves. Okay, we're in protective mode. So if disease can be hacked and weaponized, it is an astronomical risk to get a vaccine. Think about it. This could explain why black male children are at a higher risk of autism from vaccines compared to other nationalities. So what other powerful life-changing discoveries has science made and it's not made public yet? Here's a question. It's in the best interest of everyone to learn as much as possible about God's medicinal herbs and how to use them. Really, now's the time for you to get off those lifelong prescription drugs and strengthen the body. So organic herbal organ cleanses, immune system formulas, and even metabolic strengthening herb formulas are available at Apothecary Herbs. You can call to order or ask for their free product catalog. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is their web address. ThePowerHerbs, ThePowerHerbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became in this. Because, you know, it gives you some protective tools. It puts the power back in your hands to strengthen, to be more resistant to disease. And do you know there's herbs that that have the ability to protect you from things like hemorrhagic fevers, like Ebola, plagues. God didn't leave you defenseless here. That's why he says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. He wouldn't say that if it weren't true. So, bless the Lord. He's given us some tools for protection, especially in these interesting times we live in. I never felt more empowered ever before when I learned how to overcome bacterial infections, viral infections, metabolic weakness, improve organ function. These things, you can do this. See, that's it. You just been brainwashed to think nobody can do this but the white coats. But that's not true. That's not true. So your body responds to organic nutrition, and your medicinal herbs are packed, tightly packed with complex nutrition that pharmaceutical companies can't duplicate. You know, they try, but they can't. They just don't know what's in certain herbs that have this action to protect you. So, you know, while they try to figure it out, I'm sticking with the medicinal components. God created, his chemistry is always perfect. And he gets all the credit every day, all the time. All right. We're going to be talking about doctors here for a minute. You know, they have been admitting they're drug pushers. They have been admitting they're ignorant about vaccines. And they have been admitting there's a high misdiagnosed risk when you come to them. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The CEO of the drug company Valmet admitted that the primary goal of their pharmaceutical company was profits. Profits. According to Valmet Pharmaceutical COO Martin Schrenkel, he says his first obligation is to the shareholders. He explained that if they make the shareholders happy by acquiring drugs that are on the market and they raise the price, they make a lot of money, that's the main objective. Your health is not the main objective. So it's all about marketing. They're more concerned about successful marketing of a product rather than healing anybody. Of course, we know they don't. So health has never been the main objective of drug companies or even hospitals. It is strictly a business, like an auto body shop is a business. Patients are not supposed to take this personally. It's just business. Hard not to take it personally, though, when it inflicts harm on patients in some of the therapies, like this new diabetic drug that gives you flesh-eating bacterial necrosis of the genitalia. That's scary, really. So the attitude of the pharmaceutical industry, kind of worse than criminal when you think about it. So when they know their drug or devices are worthless and can cause injury and death and harm, but by the time that's evident, they've made millions and billions of dollars just on, you know, moving tons of product, right? Legal judgments against them don't even compare to the amount of money they're going to make. So we're going to get a better picture at this system of healthcare, learn how we can, you know, better be savvy consumers out there. Here's a quote from Michael Pearson, COO of Valmet Pharmaceuticals. He says, if products are sort of mispriced and there's an opportunity for us to make more money, I assume our shareholders would like us to do this for them. So that's the primary responsibility for Valmet shareholders and Valmet Inc. And that's what we're going to do. Make money. That's the goal. Of course, that's the goal. Hey, we're going to take a break. We got resources to share. Don't go anywhere.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of Thyme Herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Two million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. here on Herb Talk, and I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about what doctors are admitting to and what drug companies are admitting to. They're admitting to their sole purpose is just to make money. The drug companies, it really, you know, curing disease is not their focus. Now, the strategy of a lot of drug companies really is to flood the market with as many drug options as possible for diseases. Now, in 2008, Valent Pharmaceuticals acquired over 100 drugs and increased the pricing 1,000% on those products. So if we were discerning, the real operation of this business is to simply buy up existing drugs and then jack up their prices rather than invest in research to make new medicines. And drug development is more expensive than, you know, buying existing drugs already approved by the FDA as medicines. So the U.S. government's House Committee on Oversight and Reform is supposed to prevent this kind of thing, this kind of exploitation. However, it has already been established that the FDA's duty is not to the American people, but it's really to expand the drug company's marketplace for drugs. So Congress knows this already. Therefore, based on past behavior, there is really no pushback from elected officials, and this exploitation then continues. And patients are kind of waking up to the fact that drug companies are simply profit centers. They're ignoring ethics, and they're really a morality, and their patient suffering and wellness is just not in their conscience. So physicians are admitting they don't know what is inside the drugs they're prescribing to their patients. They have no idea if the clinical trials on the drugs were actually evidence-based. They admit that they have no control over the validity of the tools they're instructed to use in order to practice medicine. All right, so they have this plausible deniability going, and medical doctors are really not in charge. They're not in charge of making the drugs, and in most instances, they're not in charge in testing them, and neither is the FDA. However, how many of them look to the validity of the drug claims before they prescribe them? Not many, but when you do find doctors, they admit that they have really no idea what to expect from a treatment. For example, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys is a medical doctor who decided to switch to homeopathic medicine, and she spoke about vaccines, for instance, and here's what she said, because she is an MD. She says, doctors are not taught about vaccines in medical school. Doctors are not taught about what is in vaccines. Doctors are not taught about adjuvants. Doctors are not taught how vaccines are manufactured and what animal ingredients are used. Doctors are not taught about the potential dangers of vaccines. Doctors are simply given written notice when vaccines are due to be given and when to give them. So Mark Greer, he's a medical doctor and a PhD. He's a geneticist. He had this to say, I have dealt with vaccines for many years and was unaware, and most doctors were unaware, for over 35 years that vaccines contain thermosol, and this is an ingredient, is really mercury, end of quote. So here's a guy who would actually research disease for the vaccine manufacturers to use as a treatment, and he had no idea that within vaccines that the thermosol was actually mercury for 35 years. Now, okay, so these people are supposed to be smart, right? We're assuming too much about doctors and research scientists, aren't we? They're not so smart, apparently. Dr. Greer actually published a lot of scientific papers on warnings that thermosol in vaccines cause neurodevelopmental disorders and heart disease. And that was in the 2003 Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons. Now, a chemist, Morris Koresh, the University of Maryland, he also filed a patent for thermosol in 1927, and it was claimed to be 50 times more effective at killing bacteria. It was a bactericide, and therefore it was used as a preservative in these pathogen vaccines. Eli Lilly is the first really drug company to call mercury thermosol under a trade name. So, and you know, they tend to do that a lot. They'll just switch the names around on drugs so you're not the wiser. All right, so toxicology of thermosol. Science has actually labeled thermosol as a highly toxic compound and should not be inhaled. It should not be ingested, or you should not come in contact with it in your on your skin. So the thermosol container actually has a hazardous symbol on it. And science always states this is a heavy metal and has accumulative effects and toxicity, especially for sea life, and it causes long-term adverse effects. However, medical science says that if it's injected into you through a vaccine, that the body is able to metabolize it safely to degrade it to a harmless version of mercury called ethyl mercury. Animal tests prove that repeated injections have adverse effects on the central nervous system, your kidneys, and those are the main targets, is neurological and kidneys. So the heavy metals in the thermosol will go to your brain, and then it'll leave your brain after 14 days, and it'll migrate to the bowel area. So it's in the colon about 18 days after you get your injection. So a Norway did a study, and they found that there's a direct connection between thermosol in your vaccines and various skin conditions that affect about 2% of the population. So Poland study also concurred. They had about 12% children and almost 38% of adults having skin problems. So things like, you know, psoriasis and eczema and stuff like that. Dr. Lawrence Pelvisky, he's a pediatrician, and he states that he did not realize what was in vaccines until 15 years after graduating from medical school. He states he was not provided with information on vaccines from the medical establishment, and he had to actually start digging into literature on what was in vaccines involving side effects on his own. And he admits that if doctors want to learn more about the true nature of vaccines, they have to self-educate themselves, because this information does not come from the medical schools. They don't get it in residency programs at hospitals. He says, quote, "I learned that vaccines are not safe. However, we as physicians are told by the drug companies that they're completely safe," end of quote. He goes on to say this about vaccines. He says, "The injection of a vaccine material has never been truthfully evaluated." He says his research on the materials in vaccines have not been tested for different age groups, pediatrics, adults, or seniors. He says we do not know where the vaccine materials travel when in the body. We don't know how these materials negatively affect the immune system, the lymph system, the liver, the mitochondria of our cells, the nuclei of our cells, or our central nervous system. He says there have been few published studies on adverse outcomes from vaccines showing the vaccines have not been really tested and proven to be safe for use. And he says telling physicians that they have been wrong and have been actually hurting patients and having to admit this is very difficult for them. It took me years as a pediatrician to say, "I don't know." Wow. Wow. Now, Dr. Toni Bark, she's an ER physician. She states that working in a hospital setting, she would encounter patients that weren't up to date on their vaccinations and would prompt patients to comply. And she said she did a pediatric residency, but she did not learn anything about vaccines during her schooling and training. She says that the only thing doctors are taught about vaccines is the vaccine schedule, and that the vaccines produce antibodies, and that's about it. And there is really no information on how vaccines affect immune system or about any of the risks, she says. She notes that doctors are not really trained to be critical thinkers about their training, about medical research, or even the corruption within their field of medicine. She describes medical physicians kind of as robots or as these worker bee doctors that are essentially clueless and, you know, kind of they're regulated by the drug company through the marketing and all that fodder, she says, and they just go with it rather than evaluate the therapies at face value. Wow. I mean, that's called laziness, really. That's not doing your due diligence. That's a failure to do your job in a private capacity. That's what that is. Now, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny states she was an ER physician, and she was a director for more than 12 years. And the only thing that she knew when practicing as a medical doctor about vaccines is that they contain sterile water and a small amount of dead viruses or bacteria. But she says, later on in my career, I started looking at the vaccine inserts, and here's what I discovered, that what was really in vaccines. There was animal cow serums, monkey kidney tissue, chicken embryos, canine cells, human embryo cells, and chicken and mouse brain cells. Okay, so here are these smart white coats that you go to thinking they're so smart. They know everything or just about everything. And they don't even bother to look at what's in the stuff they're giving you. They have no idea. They don't know if it's been tested. They don't know if it'll hurt you. They just know what they're supposed to say because they've been given a leaflet by the drug company. Well, that's not a doctor. That's a salesman. That's what that is. That's like, you know, just like a used car salesman trying to sell you a car. They're just trying to sell you a vaccine. Now, information given by immunologist Titania Abinayich. I hope I said that right. Now, she's in a field where they're responsible for developing theories on immunity. They're, you know, that's their thing. Now, she admitted that she and her colleagues pretty much have tunnel vision. They only read information that's pertinent to their field of research. So they don't read or consider any research that shows that vaccines cause damage. Now, here's a quote from her. She says, "We do not deal with the real world. We only do research in labs, sort of like an ivory tower in our profession. We don't read any publications that are too far away from our field. We read only specific to our research, such as antibodies and how they are generated and other immune responses." Okay, so they're reading publications produced by whom? Well, she goes on to state that she went through her entire PhD training believing that vaccines give you immunity and protect you from disease. She explains that it was kind of standard in the medical industry that if, you know, a patient gets a vaccine and then the disease, well, then the vaccine was there supposedly to prevent that disease, but they get the disease anyway. She said in her field, it was standard practice to declare that the patient either was really not vaccinated or they have a different disease altogether. So the total denial that the vaccine could ever give you the disease you were supposed to be protected from. However, this doctor, upon immigrating, when she got to the United States, she had to present her vaccination schedule. And she noticed that as a child in the Ukraine, she was given 2 measles vaccination. But at the age of 11, she came down with measles. So she thought to herself, wait a minute. This has been established by science. And if science was right about immunizations, I shouldn't have gotten the measles. So after finding many documented research papers on this subject, she discovered that people contract measles from the measles vaccine. And so the vaccine doesn't protect you from the disease, but it does give you the disease. It doesn't help your immune system create antibodies against measles. It gives you measles. So she found out that most immunologists do not know this, and that their medical training is lacking. Oh, yes, Frank's weighing in. The corporations and the maximizing of profits and gain is every corporation's legal obligation to their stockholders. Well, exactly. It's not to you and protecting you from disease or your children from disease. That's because he says sticking a needle in your flesh bypasses the immune system. Yep. Dr. Anthony Norris exposed that in 1976. And he was a microbiologist. He was a virologist for the FDA. And he kind of blew the whistle on Phil Donahue, live show. Boy, was that a problem for him. But he did the right thing. Yeah, your body does not make antibodies when it detects the bacteria in the bloodstream, because that's the last place that it's supposed to be if you were to contract a disease, because it bypasses all the safeguards from the immune system function. So if it winds up suddenly in the blood system, your immune system thinks it's supposed to be there and makes no antibody because it had no idea you were infected. See there? That's how that worked. You talk about cheating the immune system. Of course, science knows this already. Well, the people who make the vaccines know this. All right, let's get on to the misdiagnosing part. You know, misdiagnosing patients in the U.S. is higher. It's a higher risk than patients think. According to the National Center for Policy Analysis, misdiagnosis has a 10 to 20% occurrence, and it exceeds drug errors and surgeries on the wrong patient or body part. So that's 12 million Americans get misdiagnosed. And of the misdiagnosed events, a whopping 28% are reported to be life-threatening and resulted in death. A report showed that there are over 40,000 intensive care patients that die each year because of misdiagnosis. And the Harvard Medical Review found that 14% of all adverse events are due to misdiagnosis, and 75% of those cases involved negligence. Now, misdiagnosis is the leading cause of malpractice litigation, but a vast majority do not end up in the court because of evidence deletion. That's right, or it goes underreported and patients are never the wiser. So, you know, computers do have delete buttons, see? So the VA hospitals have a huge problem in misdiagnosing, about 500,000 each year just in Texas alone. And the National Center for Policy, they found that 50% of the physicians encounter at least one misdiagnosis per month. So that statistic is low because doctors are reluctant to report a misdiagnostic error. And as one oncologist stated, this is Dr. John Burr Sagel, senior oncologist, North Atlantic Children's Hospital. He says, once you start down one of these clinical pathways, it's kind of hard to step out of them. So if you're like, if your doctor's really certain this is what you have, and we're going to go through all these tests and maybe do biopsies and may even do surgery, you know, once they're on that path, you know, it's kind of hard to say, oh, I was wrong. This is not what it is. You know, because patients are like, well, I just went through all this stuff. And now it's sort of like your mechanic saying your car's fixed. You pick it up and then, you know, cuts out on you mid-traffic on the way home. I thought it was fixed. Yeah. Well, then there's the second opinion. How important is that? Mayo Clinic General Internal Medicine Division, Rochester, New York, released a report April 2017, on how important a second opinion is. They stated 88% of patients who got a second opinion went home with a refined or different diagnosis that changed their care plan. Their findings were published in the Journal of Evaluations in Clinical Practice. So, you know, if you have a family member that was incorrectly diagnosed by several physicians, let's say over 10 years, you know, that can happen. Dr. James Anasu, Mayo Clinic, says effective and efficient treatment depends on the right diagnosis. We know 1 in 5 patients will be incorrectly diagnosed, and this is troubling. Dr. David Newman, professor of neurology, Johns Hopkins, he says misdiagnosis happens all the time. This is an enormous problem. The hidden part of the iceberg of medical errors that dwarfs other kinds of mistakes, end of quote. And Dr. Mark Graber, Society to Improve Diagnostics in Medicine, says arrogance and overconfidence is our ability to, it's a major part of the problem. He says doctors have gotten a pass for far too long when it comes to diagnostic accuracy. Physicians, he says, don't realize how error-prone they are. End of quote. Oh, I know. I worked with doctors for a long, long time. They have a real ego issue. Most of them do. I ran into a few very humble type doctors, but most of them were kind of, you know, I don't know. They just living on the edge is how I look at them. So, you know, it has to occur to you, anyone really in scientific medicine, really it's, if you think about scientific medicine, it's based more a lot of times on theory rather than accuracy. A lot of treatments were based on theories. Let's make a comparison on, let's say in the same category, let's say you're obligated and liable to have a driver's license and to pay income tax when in fact you're not. So the official federal and state codes for, let's say, driver's license are really not for commercial. They're for commercial, for hire transport. They're not for citizens traveling about doing their daily thing. So you see, it's based on a theory. It's not fact. And so this is the sham, basically. People have been made to believe things are what they are when they're really not. Okay, so you got to check everything out. It's checker. So you got to be strong. Scientific medicine is really not in the business of strengthening. They're in the business of managing your disease, managing your pain, managing your emotional distress. But they don't get you back to your original state of wellness, which is the medical definition of a cure. Now trauma care is different. You know, we do need trauma care. But this lifelong drug therapy stuff has got it. It's got to go. It's not a cure. It weakens you over time and makes the problem worse. So you have the power. You have the power to change things right now. And food is your medicine. Hippocrates said that. He was so right. He's the father of medicine, and he spoke truth. So food influences DNA, influences cell integrity, influences neurology, influences immune system, all your organ function. So you have a lot of power over your health by eating clean and healthy. And then if you need a little help getting strong in certain areas to get over the hump, then you want to possibly layer in those medicinal herbs. So if you're looking for metabolic strengthening, cleansing out toxins, strengthening immune system function, then you want to call the experts in those areas. That's the Apothecary Herbs. They make a professional strength formula grade product that is a game changer. So give them a call. Get a free catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Number again, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. I've been told I don't say that slow enough, Frank. Hope you got it that time. Oh, if you're on their website, do sign up for the free online newsletters. They are to die for. No subscription fee, and you get empowering, healthy information in your email each week. So you have to have email. You just go to the powerherbs.com website and click on books and newsletters and sign up for free. And the catalog's free, too, so get one of those while you're there. I can see by the clock I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.